The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. That was good. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Philippians, but this time look at Philippians chapter 1, if you will, and look at verse 18. I want to speak to you this morning on things which bring joy. Things which bring joy. You know, we're living, I believe, in such a negative society. We're living in a society where if you're not careful, it will affect your spirit. And so I want to speak to you on how to find that joy. Now, I'm going to give you some biblical reasons whereby we ought to rejoice. Now, when we leave here, it'd be nice if you practiced these biblical reasons. When we leave here, it would be nice if you said, well, you know, that's a shoe that I can put on, I can tie it, and I can walk out of here and be a different person. I believe what you focus on many times is what you become. And so if you come to church and you're focused on, I'm going to find something that I don't agree with in that church, can I tell you, you're going to find it. If you come to church and you say, I'm looking for a blessing, might have to dig a little bit for it. And by the way, gold is always found through digging deep. And so it might be you have to dig deep. But if you come looking for a gold nugget in church, I want to promise you something this morning, probably because you came looking for it, you're going to find it. If you came to church looking for people that smile, you're looking, and you're looking hard. You're trying to find somebody that's going to smile. Can I tell you, if you look hard enough, you'll find somebody that's going to smile. If you're trying to find a grump this morning, I'm not talking necessarily about the person sitting next to you. Nobody's giving me a note. But can I tell you, if you're looking for a grump this morning, you will probably find one before leaving church. Because you're looking for one. If you're looking for ways to be able to leave here and say, boy, that was great singing, and that was great preaching, and boy, that was just great just being around the people of God, can I tell you, when you leave here, you would probably have found what you were looking for. You see, and I want to help us to be able to focus on the right thing. Here's what we understand. Over in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, what then? Understanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Now watch what Paul says here. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I've been around a lot of preachers. I've been saved for 37 years today. It's my spiritual birthday. So 37 years ago today, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, can I tell you that I have had times where I rejoice, and I've had times where I've not been rejoicing. But I want you to see, here's what Paul said. Paul said that when the Word of God is preached, he said we ought to find ourselves rejoicing. Now, wait a minute. Let's go a step farther on that. Should we only rejoice when in church? I mean, it's easy to rejoice around the people of God. You walk around somebody and they're smiling earlobe to earlobe. It's kind of easy to pick that up and get infected. When all of a sudden you're standing beside somebody and they're singing the praises of God, can I tell you, it infects you. Choir gets up and they sing a wonderful, wonderful song. It lifts your spirit. Matter of fact, let me kind of clue you in a little bit. When Saul's spirit was down, he called for David. David came in, played the harp. When he played the harp, what did it do? It lifted his spirit. That tells me if you get the right music in your life, it could affect your spirit. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So wait a minute. You say, yep, that's it, preacher. You're supposed to do some weeping. Yeah, but don't forget, he also said to rejoice with them that rejoice. So when are you supposed to rejoice? Well, could you help a person that is having a difficult time if you spent some time rejoicing? How much rejoicing, are you ready? How much rejoicing do you do in your average day? How much rejoicing? How much rejoicing does your children see you do? How much rejoicing does your parents see you do? When you go out to the grocery store, do you rejoice? You say, I sure do. Before I get the bill, I rejoice. When all of a sudden you go on a vacation, do you rejoice? How about when you come home? Are you still rejoicing? When all of a sudden some things go wrong that you wasn't planning on, can you find your joy in looking at Jesus Christ? Or do you take it on the chin and it ruined your day? Here's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, by the way, this is a command. This is not a suggestion. He says, rejoice in the Lord. How long? Always. Talk to me. Rejoice in the Lord. Talk to me. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And he says, and again, I say, rejoice. Now, by the way, that is a command. So God says, I'm commanding you, by the way, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So God commands me to rejoice. Now you say, oh, that's the Apostle Paul. He had everything going for him. He's on the top side. No, he was writing those at Philippi while in prison. He was not in a lavish hotel. But he was writing, and if you'll read that which is Philippians, you're going to find out it's a letter back to those of the church of Philippi, and it was a letter of thanksgiving because that was the church, a very small church, by the way, that had given an offering by Epaphroditus to Paul when Paul was in a great strait in his life and needed finances. So this was the church that came beside him to try and help him. And now he's writing back to the church and he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, this is a spiritual church. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is a church that's on fire for God. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is a church that has adult fellowship time together, like we're having that adult couple fellowship thing over somebody's house. Rejoice in the Lord. This is people that came out for No Doubt Wednesday Bible study. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is people probably that were soul winners. Rejoice in the Lord. These are people that probably carried their Bible to church. Rejoice in the Lord. These are people that probably went to the altar and prayed from time to time. Rejoice in the Lord. This is probably people that gave sacrificially to mission. Rejoice in the Lord. This is probably people that love Bible teaching and Bible preaching. And the Bible says that Paul writes them and says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, if he has to remind people that are spiritual to rejoice, then how much more should we be reminded that you and I are also supposed to rejoice? Now, how is it this morning that you and I can find ourselves being rejoicing? What are some things that when you have a down day that you can focus on that will bring you joy? What is it that you could use as some ammunition in your ammo box that you could draw out of during a day when it seems like nothing's going right and you just need a little bit of joy? Let's notice a couple of things. Statement number one, recognize the power of God brings joy. The power of God brings joy. Look at Acts chapter 8, look at verse 5. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria. The Bible says here, and preached, it says, Christ unto them. Verse 6. The Bible says, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now watch this. For the unclean spirits, and it says the crying of a loud voice, it says, came out of the many possessed, it says, with them. Now watch what it says. And many, it says, had taken up, it says, of a prowse here and was lame and was healed. And then it says, and there was great joy in that city. You see, when God begins to work in somebody's life, you say, but I've never seen anybody rise up and walk that was lame. Let me tell you, the greatest miracle of all, that's salvation. When somebody receives Jesus Christ as Savior, somebody bows their heart, understanding that they're a lost sinner in need of the Savior of the world to become their personal Savior, that person goes from death to life. They go from lost to saved. They go from destiny to hell to destiny of heaven. That's the greatest miracle that could ever take place. But how many times have you cried to the Lord, and not only does he save you as a lost sinner, but now that you're saved in your Christian life, you cry to the Lord and he strengthens you. He's there. He's the one that you can call upon that has never forsaken you. He's the one that's closer than a brother. He's the one that has all sufficiency for all of your need inside of himself through the Word of God, and you can go to him for strength. Oh, wait a minute. Did you know that you can also go to him and he will stir you? I don't know if you've ever been in services before where God just seems to encamp around you and God begins to speak to you and God has something personal. And that's how come I say, listen, be somebody that does not get distracted. I thank God we have a balcony and we have many, many people in the balcony this morning, and thank God for everybody that sits in the balcony. And I thank God for everybody that sits in this section and this section and this section and this section and this section. And I think it's wonderful. And yes, I thank God for you guys too. But now, wait a minute, be careful that you do not sit around somebody that distracts you. Be careful that you don't sit behind somebody that's always talking. Be careful that you don't sit beside someone that's always giving you their opinion about what the preacher says every time the preacher says something. Be careful that you don't sit around and distract her. Why? Because then you will not experience what God wants to do in your life. You see, church is like the power plant where you come and you have to plug yourself in to be able to shine for Jesus Christ. And the more people that come to church and plug yourself in, the brighter the light. Just in coming to church this morning, you're a testimony to somebody. Somebody knew you were coming here. Somebody knew you were going to show up. Somebody knew that Parkside Baptist Church was the direction you were heading and the parking lot that you were going to park in. And because of that, you were a testimony to somebody. Now, can I say, listen, not only church is just a place where you can get plugged in. You realize that in church, when you hear the teaching, when you hear the preaching of the Word of God, some things are going to happen. Either you're going to get right, or you're going to get tight, or you're going to be ready to fight, or you're going to want to bite someone, or you're going to ignite, or you're going to disappear out of sight. I mean, something's going to happen. You know, and I thank God that we have a church that's alive. Say amen. Amen. I said, I thank God we have a church that's alive. Say amen. Amen. I'd rather be in a live church than a dead church. I'd rather be in a live church that runs buses and supports missionaries and helps people and loves people and encourages people. I like to be under the spout where the blessings come out. And can I tell you, at Parkside Baptist Church, we're seeing a lot of blessings. Statement number one, recognize the power of God brings joy. Statement number two, recognize the presence of Jesus brings joy. The presence of Jesus. You say, well, I don't feel him. You don't always have to feel him to know he is there. Come on. You don't always walk around feeling like you love your wife. You know? You don't always walk around feeling like you love your husband. But just the sheer fact of knowing that they're still sticking with you brings joy. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse 22, the Bible says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but he says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy shall no man take away from you. John chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and he said to them, so he said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And it says, then were the disciples glad, and it says, and when they saw the Lord. Now, you know, you can see the Lord presently working in your life. When you have a burden that's so heavy that you cannot bear, you can go to him, pray, and many times you can feel the relief knowing that he's going to take care of the problem. You know why? Because he doesn't forsake you. You know why? Because he doesn't turn his back on you. When I was coming up on that farm, I was raised on a 180-acre farm in Millers, Maryland, and raised by my grandparents for 6 years. And I remember just as a young little kid, I was scared of the dark so bad. I mean, you know, I don't know what was in my head, but I was so scared of the dark. And I remember telling my grandpa, I said, I'm scared of the dark. And my granddaddy would say, will you come climb in bed with me, Mike? And so I'd climb in that big old feather bed. And when you get in that feather bed, I don't know if you've ever slept in a feather bed before, but can I tell you, you will lose yourself. I mean, because you sink down and it just kind of crowds in around you. And I remember sleeping in that big old feather bed, and I don't know why. I don't know if they just did it that way. I don't know. For those of you that are older, you can tell me this after church. Please don't tell me now. But my grandfather and my grandmother slept in different rooms. I don't know if that was something they just did back then or what, but that's just the way it was. And so I told my granddaddy, I said, now, Paul, I called him Paul, and I said, Paul, I said, I'm scared. He said, Michael, you come right up here. And I climbed in that big old farmhouse, second-story farmhouse, country is all you could imagine, feather bed. I climbed up there, and I couldn't see that he was looking at me. And I said, I'm still scared. He said, I'm looking at you. Don't be afraid. Well, I couldn't see he was looking at me. I mean, I didn't see his brown eyes staring at me through the dark. If I would, I probably would have got up and ran. But I couldn't see that. But just because of the fact he said, I'm looking at you, and it'll be okay. Can I tell you, you can go through the storm's darkest night, and our Lord Jesus Christ has not taken his eyes off of you. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what difficulties are coming your way. He loves you. He cherishes you. He is there for you. And if you could just understand the closeness that he wants to have to you, it would make a difference in your life. So how can I get joy? I recognize the power of God brings joy. How do I get joy? I recognize the presence of Jesus brings joy. How do I get joy? I recognize the promise of reward. The promise of reward. Oh, you say, but you don't understand, preacher. Okay, come on, Brother Craig. Let's do a role play. Here we go. So Brother Craig walks along, gets poochy lip disease, walking along, you know, bent over. I mean, just poochy lip disease. Just feel like he's given up. Just feel like it's time to quit. Just feel like it's time to throw in the towel. Okay, now one thing could make a difference is you appear in his life. Just say, hey, it's going to be okay. Realize you got poochy lip disease and it's going to be okay. Hey, let's walk together for a while. You know, by the way, sometimes it takes that. Hey, don't be like the friends of Job, poochy lip. They come along, they're kicking. Don't be like the friends of Job. Don't show up and say, well, it must be that you're not right with God. That's what your problem is. You're not right with God. I tell you. Something's wrong in your life. I mean, you wouldn't be down if you were right with God. They don't need that. You know what they need? They need, hey, come on, it'll be okay. Come on, we can do it. Let's go to church together. It's going to be a beautiful drive in the Texas sun. I've got air conditioning in my vehicle. We'll make it to church. It's going to be fun. You know, I drive safe. I do. Stay within the lines. Use blinkers. Safe. We have a great time of fellowship. We're going to pick up Brother Palmore. He said he's treating us to breakfast. All right, thank you. Watch this, okay? Statement number three. Here's what we understand. We understand that you recognize the promise of reward. You might not have somebody to do what I just did. You might feel very lonely. You might feel very depressed. You might feel like you just can't make it. Here's what you do. I ran track and field for years. Did you know? My coach said, when you're going down that final stretch, look at the finish line. Never look back. See, the problem is some of us spend more time looking back than we do ahead. Come on. We say, well, I tell you what, got hurt, somebody disappointed me. Okay, humans are human, and humans are destined to fail. Come on. So my wife disappointed me, still married, work things out. Husband disappointed me, still married, work things out. You see, find the little joys in your life. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Listen to what it says. It says, for great is your reward in heaven. It says, for so, it says, persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In other words, you're not alone. Man, I carried my Bible to work, Pastor. When I carried my Bible to work, somebody made fun of me. You're not alone. When I put my Bible on the desk, somebody came by and spit on it. You're not alone. When I tried to give somebody a gospel tract and invite them to church, all of a sudden now they rejected the tract and they did not receive the tract. You're not alone. You're not alone. When I smiled at somebody and they said, well, why are you smiling? And I answered back, well, the Lord's been good to me. And they started to smirk and mock and walk away. You're not alone. You are not alone. But preacher, you don't understand. It's difficult to live for Christ in such a nation at present. And so what do I do? Here's what you do. You rely on the promises of God. You rely on one day. You know, I never got the reward, never got the trophy, never got the trophy, never got the ribbon, never got the, if I quit before I crossed the finish line. Right. Never did. Had to cross the finish line first. Then you get your reward. You're not in heaven yet. My mom died, I said this morning, Sunday school. She went home to be with the Lord at age 54. Dad went home to be with the Lord at age 57. My older brother, my wife and I, through your graciousness, flew us up to the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area before I left for the Philippines to preach over there and attended my older brother's funeral, died at age 57. Now, wait a minute. I've got people in heaven looking over. You know, there's great reward knowing. One day out, my mama, I don't know why my mama was this way, but if I was staying at home, my mom would say that, even when I was in Bible college, my mom would say this, I would say goodnight. She said, no, come here and kiss me. Come here and kiss. And I went through that phase, you know, when I was an older teenager, I don't want to do this. I mean, you know, that's my mom. I mean, when you kiss her, you're kissing wrinkles. You know, it's like, come on, I don't want to do this. But my mom had this thing that she wanted a kiss from, you know, I had three brothers. She wanted a kiss from all four of her boys before you went to bed. And if you went into the bedroom and you did not give her a kiss, she would say, she'd call your name. I'll use David since he's in heaven. She would say, David, get out here. Where's my kiss? David would take the sheets and pull them off and whatever, and he'd walk out. And she didn't want it here. She didn't want it here. She didn't want it here. She did not want it here. She didn't want it here. She always wanted it right here. Always. Always. Now, wait a minute. My mom's been in heaven a long time. I know what's going to happen. Soon as I get to heaven, she's going to say, Michael! It's about time. Get over here. And I'm going to walk over. And I know what she's going to do. Because moms never change. I mean, she's going to say, come here. I'm going to walk in. And she's going to say, give me a kiss. And I'll pretend like I've done before. I'll start to kiss her on the cheek and she'll say, uh-uh. And I'll start to kiss her on the other cheek and she'll say, uh-uh. I say, where do you want it? She says, right there. Come on. My dad was a man's man. Now, by the way, my dad, you would never kiss my dad. Mm-mm. My dad was just a man, just, you know, just right there. Just right there. He, you know, whenever we would talk about stuff, and he'd say, you got that, son? You got that? I say, yes, sir. He said, okay. I trust you. And that's it. He wasn't a hugger. Now, thank God for dads that do hug. Hey, look, you kiss your kids. You know, that's great. You know, I'd kiss my kids all the time, stuff like that. And I'd hug them. All right, now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you recognize that there's a reward coming. There's a reward coming. Come on. This is not it, folks. This is not it, folks. You say, it's hot here. Thank God you're not going to the other place that's hotter. You can rejoice. But this is not it. I'm saying, look, recognize the power of God brings joy. When you recognize the presence of Jesus, it brings joy. When you recognize the promise of reward, it brings joy. Let me give you two more and I'm done. When you recognize the preaching of Christ, it brings joy. Now, there's nothing like preaching. There's nothing like it. You know why? Because God all of a sudden taps you. God all of a sudden says, I want you to do this. God all of a sudden speaks directly to you. There's nothing like preaching. I don't know how people survive without preaching. Listen to it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, what then? It says, notwithstanding every way. I read this a moment ago. Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. He says, I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, why is he rejoicing? Because Christ is preached. The one who came, the one who shed his blood, the one that was crucified, the one that conquered sin, death, and the devil, the one whereby man's soul is converted, the one that's coming back again, the one that keeps count on everything that you do. Can I tell you, you can thank God for the preach. And by the way, churches always used to be this way. Somebody visited the church here a couple months ago and they say, man, you know, that reminds me of the way it used to be. Well, God's word has not changed. We want to keep it right. We want to keep it straight. And you say, oh, but wait a minute. You really think it's going to grow? Here's what Jesus said. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men onto myself. If I was to be able to lift one of these guys up, and I can't. But if I was to be able to lift one of these guys up and I portrayed them as Jesus Christ, when I lift them up or him up and he draws all men onto himself, then I happen to be there and I get to see the draw. You know why? Because as you preach Christ, and that's what we teach our preachers that's in our Bible college, we don't want to graduate some young people that's just going to go out and sit on stools and teach from that center, if you will. No, we want somebody to mount behind a pulpit and lift your voice high and preach. You say, oh, I don't like that. Well, there's other churches out there that don't do it. But I'd rather be in a church. Well, I tell you, one sermon changed my life. One sermon. One sermon. I was sitting in a youth camp and the preacher got up and he preached an entire message on being a sold out Christian. One sermon. One sermon. One sermon. And I heard that one sermon and the Holy Ghost of God smote my heart and said, that's what you're lacking. You're not a sold out believer. And I went forward that night. I didn't care who was there. I didn't care who was paying attention. I didn't care who showed up. But I went forward that night and I bowed my heart and I said, God, from this day forward, as a teenager, I will give you everything I've got. I will be a sold out believer. I will give you my life. And when I did that, the peace of God flowed. Can I tell you, when you become somebody, don't come to church just being somebody that is a non-participant. Come on. Man, all of a sudden, preacher preaches and he hits something. At least smile at him. You know, you might want to say amen. Or you might want to say, come on. Or that too. But what I'm saying is, listen, look, I'm telling you that the Word of God changes life. You know why? We're going to baptize about 11 people tonight because they went to a youth camp. God worked on their heart, and they understood that they needed Christ, and they bowed their heart, received Christ as Savior. Hey, what do you have to say about that? Amen. Amen. That's what I say about that. I'm saying this, recognize that the preaching of the Word of God brings joy. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. Recognize that that God will be the one that does the pardoning. Recognize that God is the one that does the pardoning. Look, when all else fails, you say, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, and God's not answering my prayer. You can still rejoice that you've been pardoned. Come on. I have no idea where I would be today if David Lee, that teenage boy, say, age 16, had not given me the gospel in a carnival ground. When I was 18, Maryland boy, and he showed me my need of Christ. I have no idea where I would be today if it was not for that moment. No idea. Well, I thank God for soul winners. I thank God for people that pass out tracts. And I thank God for people that just give of themselves. You can rejoice over the fact that you have been pardoned. Listen to it, and I'm done. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, notwithstanding. Says, in this, watch it, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Listen to it now. Because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Bible says over in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Bible talks about these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible talks about how a person can know for sure they're saved. And when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, here's what happens. He writes your name in the book of life, and it is sealed unto the day of redemption. I mean, it is sealed forevermore. Once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, it is done. It is complete. It is not something that's thought over again. You don't have to receive him over and over and over and over and over and over again. The Bible says you must be born again. It does not say you must be born again and again and again and again and again. It's not a perpetual state of being. It is a one-time birth into the family of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I receive Christ as my Savior, he forgives my sin and he writes my name in the book of life, and it is sealed. You say, well, I don't always feel saved. You don't always feel married, but you're married. You might not always feel like getting up in the morning. You might not always feel like you're human. Come on. But I'm saying that once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior on the authoritative word of God this morning, I can give you full assurance that once you have received Christ as Savior, it is done forever. It's not a matter of how you live, it's a matter of who you trusted. Somebody says, well, I got saved and I'm not living it. I'm sad to say this, but I know most Christians don't live it. Most Christians don't live it. That's a shame, but it's true. It's true. Let me give you an example, if I may. And okay, honey, will you come here? You're not interpreting this morning. Come here with, if you help me. And closing illustration, I'm done. This is my precious wife. And by the way, she wrote the sermon this morning. And here it is. I kid her always. I say, if it's a good sermon, she wrote it. If it's a bad one, I wrote it. And but it's my precious wife, and I love her. And married 32 years. And yeah, same man, me. And okay, now watch this. All right, oldest boy, come here. This is our oldest boy. It's Jonathan. Now wait a minute. Let's say that we tell Jonathan, go do. And he goes and he does. And boy, we rejoice. See that? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just great? Woo, you did a good job. Thank you so much for raising him right. All right, come here. And let's say we tell Jonathan to go do and he does not. He does not. Go do. I said, go do. All right. Now wait a minute. Watch this. Now, that's going to break our hearts. Is that right? Does it change the fact he's still her son? No, it doesn't. See, when I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm birthed into the family of God. It's not based on what I do or how good of a son I am. It is based on the security that I have in Christ because his shed blood is eternal. His blood did not dry up. The same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for me was shed and will be shed for those 1,000 years from now, if you will listen to me now, because it has not dried up. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that washes away your sin by his shed blood. You say, how is that possible? Because it's on the mercy seat. It's on the mercy seat. Now, wait a minute, watch this. He is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Oh, John the Baptist baptized in the River Jordan. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus across that hill, and he looks up and he says, hey, behold, 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 the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. Yeah. It's Christ. All right? So, as a parent, now wait a minute, stay with me now. As a parent, if he doesn't obey us, now of course, I'm saying he's in the home and he's not married now and all this sort of stuff. But now, he doesn't obey. Watch this now. Watch this. Doesn't obey. Still breaks the heart. Still breaks the heart. Still breaks the heart. Still breaks the heart. Now, watch this. Watch this. Watch. Doesn't change sonship. Amen. Doesn't change sonship. Amen. Changes reward. All of a sudden, he's a teenager and says, well, I don't want to, Dad. And then he comes to me and says, Daddy, can I have the keys to the car? And I look at him and say, I don't want to, son. Amen. You know, I say, clean out the garage. And he says, well, I just don't feel like it. And then he comes back and he says, hey, Daddy, could you give me 25 bucks? Because I want to go buy this. And I'll say, well, I don't feel like it. You see what I'm saying? So after you get saved, what do? You obey. You obey. After he was born into her family, he's supposed to obey. Same principle. Right. Now, it doesn't change the fact that he's born into my family. It does change blessing. Right. Thank you. Be seated. It doesn't change the fact that we had children, and it doesn't change the fact that they will always be our children. By the way, they'll be our children when they become old and gray. I said, when they become old and gray. They'll be our children. Okay, but now stay with me. But it doesn't change the fact that if something happens and they go, oh, now watch this. All of a sudden, come here. All of a sudden goes out into sin. Go sin somewhere. All right, now wait, watch this. Now, my love doesn't change. My love doesn't change. That's it, drink your water. And my love doesn't change. All right, but the relationship changed. Stay with me. My love doesn't change. But the relationship, his sonship doesn't change, but the relationship changes. These kids, thank you, be seated. These kids would get in trouble and we'd send them to the room. We'd say, go to the bedroom. They knew judgment was coming. Now, though we had to spank them, can I tell you, it didn't change their relationship. Did not change the relationship. They're still a son. Didn't change the relationship. Okay, and so once you're born into the family, now what do? Once you're saved, hey, listen, there's some joys you can plug into. Be sure to plug into them and let God give you joy. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for
joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.